Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Ches. Before we begin the actual Gemara text, we glance at the side in the margin where you see the Nosei / Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic heading, Mivneh, structural note. A diamond appears, and we indicate that this section of Gemara deals with Be'inyan, with the topic of Hamagbia Metzia L'Chavero, one who picks up a lost article for, on behalf of, his friend. A lost article meaning something that one finds in a state of hefker, something that's unowned, and he picks it up on behalf of his friend. Rami Bar Chama will be of the opinion that your intention of picking it up for your friend is sufficient for him to acquire it. Rava says no, lo kani, you do not acquire it. So as you look at the Daf Gemara, you'll notice diamonds around Rami Bar Chama. A few lines later, around Rava. You will note that where Rava appears, the entire section of Gemara appears in a bracketed form. The reason for this is that when we present Rami Bar Chama, the Gemara will be asking, from where does Rami Bar Chama get his idea? From where does he develop his principle? In other words, Rami Bar Chama being an Amora, we're looking for a Tanaic basis, or at least a Tanaic reference to his ruling. So that upon the, let's see, initial presentation of the Gemara, we'll make the Rami Bar Chama presentation, skip the bracketed section, where the Gemara will then raise the issue of where do we see his point from. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rami Bar Chama, Zois Oimeres. Literally means this comes to teach us. And the question of what is the pronoun referring to when we say this comes to teach us, it is a reference to some aspect of the Mishnah. This comes to teach us Hamagbia Metzia L'Chavero Kona Chavero, that when one picks up a found article on behalf of his friend, the friend acquires it. The E Salka Daitach Lo Kona Chavero, if you were to think that the other party does not acquire it. Now, the Gemara goes on to say something that, in order to even to begin to understand it, we need to glance first at the Rashi. So let us look at the Rashi on the top line, Zoysimeres, Masnisen, our Mishnah, the beginning of the Perek, Tekotoni Shnayim Shekbiu Metzia Kanua. We saw two people holding the talis. The two people found something, and we say the two of them that pick it up, they acquire it, v'achloku, and they divide it. Ukshimagbia, when he picks it up, magbia ledas shikne bo chaveru chetzio. When I pick up my end, I'm picking it up with the intent that you, the fellow opposite me, will get half of it. Now, what we just said, you really do not see in the words in an explicit fashion when learning the Mishnah. This is what Rami Bar Chama is, we'll say, extrapolating from the Mishnah. Nevertheless, in looking at the Mishnah in that fashion, when the two were picking it up, he was picking it up with the intention that the other fellow also picking it up should get half. Shma mino, from here we would derive Hamagbia Metzia v'chulei. One who picks up something with the intent that his friend should acquire it, the friend acquires. Ulekamei Porich, later in the Gemara, we pointed out earlier that this will be the focus of discussion after the bracketed section in the beginning of the wide lines of our Gemara, the question will arise, Diyuka Darami Bar Chama Mehecha. The inference that Rami Bar Chama draws from the Mishnah, from where? Me'ezu Bava B'Mishnah Seinu Hu Lamed Kach. From which section of the Mishnah did he in fact derive what he said? In the meantime, we don't know where he got his idea from, but we see his idea as stated, that when you pick up something on behalf of your friend acquires. Now let's go back to the Gemara text. De'i salka daitoch lo kona chavero. If it were so that your picking up does not enable your friend to acquire, Teo says zu kemi shemunachas al gabi karka, v'zu kemi shemunachas al gabi karka. Then we would the alternative then would be to look at the part of the talus that was picked up as if it's still on the ground, so that this end is still on the ground. If my friend doesn't acquire, so that my picking up was ineffective in my friend getting it, so then if it's ineffective, it's as if it's still on the ground. Likewise, the other end, it too is still as if it's on the ground. V'lo yikne lo ze v'lo ze, and neither one should acquire. And the result of that would be that if some third party comes along and grabs it from them, he should be able to keep it. Yet we don't say that. Elo lav, rather, shma mino hamagbia metzila chavero kona chavero, that when you pick up something on behalf of your friend, that is a legitimate form of acquisition on behalf of your friend. That having been said, very nice. Rami Bar Chama has a principle, and he says he derives it from the Mishnah. If you skip now the bracketed section, use your bracket length indicator. You drop down to the second wide line of Gemara, at which point Omar Le Rov Acho Brei de Rav Ado de Rav Ashi Diyuka de Rami Bar Chama Mehecha. From where does Rami Bar Chama see his point? From where in the Mishnah? The Mishnah had a number of different examples. We had two people claiming the talus, each one as theirs. We had another case where one says it's all mine, the other one's it's half mine. We had two fellows riding on an animal. We had a number of different sections of the Mishnah. The question is, what section of the Mishnah serves as the basis of Rami Bar Chama's teaching? When you look at the Gemara in an overview fashion, there in the wide lines, you'll notice a triangle several of them, and at each point the Gemara will be saying, well, maybe it's from this part of the Mishnah. Following the triangle, you'll see a framed section in each case being a quote from the Mishnah, but following each triangled quote you'll see a double underline, at which point the Gemara rejects that as Rami Bar Chama's source. When you get to the final triangle, so then we will say there's no double underline that follows that. So at that point, we cite that as Rami Bar Chama's source. However, Rava, who shortly appears in the Gemara, disagrees with Rami Bar Chama, and he will say what he does regarding that last citation. Now, that having been said, we just learned Rami Bar Chama in our Gemara text without seeing where he got it from. And now in the bracketed section, the Gemara presents Rava, Omar Rava, Li'olam Eim Olo Chamagvia Metzila Chaveru Lo Kona Chaveru. Rava disagrees with Rami Bar Chama. And that if you pick up something, a found article, on behalf of your friend, where you have no intention to acquire it for yourself, but your intention is to for your friend's benefit exclusively, that doesn't work. V'hocha hainu taimo, in the Mishnah where we see the two people picking up the found article and there is acquisition on their part, the analysis is thus: migu dezochi lenafshe zochi nami lechavrei. Since you were picking it up with yourself in mind, you are able to along with your intent to acquire for yourself, you also acquire it on behalf of your friend. So that to focus on the point of distinction between Rami Bar Chama and Rava is that whereas according to Rami Bar Chama, if your intention is exclusively for your friend, that is effective. According to Rava, that would not be effective. Teda. Now Rashi says Teda on the upper part of the narrow lines. Rashi says Da Filu Omar Lo kono chavero hecha digbia kulo ladas chavero hocha digbia liatzma ule chavero kani mishumigu. So let the Gemara now says, hey, let it be clear or let it be known. Shiilu omar lishlucho tsei ugnovli veganav potter. If one would say to his agent, go and steal on my behalf, and that agent would go and steal, the sender would be exempt. In other words, where the thief steals at the request of someone to go steal, it would not be an act of sin reflective back on the one that sent him. V'shutfin shegonvu chayovin. However, two people that participate in the act of theft, according to Tosfos, it means that they both picked up an item in the act of theft. They both stole together. They would both be chayav. My taima, why is this the case? Lav mishum v'amrinan, is it not because we say migu dezochi l'nafshei zochi nami l'chavrei? Since in the case of the theft, you're participating in the theft for yourself, you're also considered acting in an act of theft with regard to your friend as well. So this principle comes out of, since you acquire for yourself, you also acquire on behalf of your friend. But in the case of the thief sent to do an act of theft where it was done exclusively for another party, there it doesn't reflect back on the original party. That would have been the case parallel to Rami Bar Chama's din of Magbia Metzila Chavero. Rava tells you Lo Kona Chavero. In the case of the theft, that act would not reflect back on the one who sent him, because picking up something on behalf of your friend doesn't work. Shma Mino. So the Gemara feels that, or should say Rava feels that this is conclusive to illustrate his point. You notice that we have now an internal brackets, an angular brackets. On the side, there's a starred note which reads as follows. Besoch sograim elu, within these angular brackets, kayam diun pinimi bedino yishel Rava. There's an internal discussion regarding Rava's din, that the Amrino Migu. Rava, who said that we apply this analysis called Migu, since you acquired on behalf of yourself, you acquire it also on behalf of your friend Lahasik, Maskona, Lagabi Chere, Shupikech, Shigbi, Mitzia, using Rava's principle of Migu, the Gemara within the bracket section is going to try to come to a conclusion regarding the act of picking up something involving a cheresh and a pikech, cheresh, a deaf mute, and a man, a pikech, a man of sound mind. Let us point out ahead of time that what Rava attempts to conclude in the bracketed section, the angular bracketed section, will undergo several stages of refinement. In fact, significant alteration, so that what we open up with will end up not being, not resembling at all that which we actually conclude with. A bow tie shape will appear shortly, and on the side of the Gemara under our Mivne heading, Shalosh Nisyonos, three attempts, Ligalois Ma Dinois Shel Rava, what in fact is Rava's rule, the Mikre Shel Cheresh Upikeach, Shegbiu Metzin Metzia, with regard to the scenario where a deaf mute and a man of sound mind pick up something together. So now, the Gemara. Omar Rova, Hashto di Amris Damrina, now that we have said Nigu, the principle of since one, we said, acquires for himself, he therefore is able to acquire on behalf of his friend. With that in mind, Cheresh Upikeach Shikipiu Metzia, a deaf mute and a man of sound mind that pick up a found article, Mitoich Shekona Cheresh Kona Pikeach. Since the Cheresh acquires, the man of sound mind also acquires. The Gemara asks on that, Bishlamo Cheresh Kona de Komagvele Bandas. I understand the Cheresh being able to acquire because a Bandas, a man of sound mind, is picking up the other end. So, as we said, since he picks up for himself, he's able to pick up also for the Cheresh. Elo Pikech B'mai Kona. The man of sound mind, though, through what mechanism does he acquire? He would need the Cheresh's action of lifting up to be effective for him as well. And yet we know that a Cheresh is considered one of those that are incapable or inept. Before we go further, let's look at how Rashi explains the Havamina, the first stage of thinking. Rashi, a few lines up from here, Hashto di Amris Migu, Dezochi Lenafshei, since we've introduced this idea of since, of Migu, since, that you acquire for yourself, you acquire on behalf of your friend, Cheresh u'Pikech Shigbiu Metzia Kanua, the Cheresh and Pikech that pick up a found article acquire, Afalpi, Shehagbo Shel Cheresh Eina Hagbo Liknois, even though the picking up on the part of the Cheresh is not considered a real means of acquisition, Elo Mipnei Darkei Shalom. We view the possession of a Cheresh as being considered legal possession only for the purpose of preserving social peace. That's called Darkei Shalom, which is a rabbinic concept as opposed to a full-fledged form of ownership. We speak about these inepts, the deaf mute, the imbecile, and the minor, as being the subject of theft, only because if we would disregard them altogether, it would result in social strife. Afilu hachi, Omar, even so, we say, migu dezochi lenafshei, since he acquires for himself, we say he acquires on behalf of the other party as well. So that even though the hagbo of the Cheresh isn't a real hagbo, other than for Darkei Shalom purposes, we say since he acquires for himself, he acquires on behalf of the other party. However, there's still, as we saw already, an imbalance. We continue in the Rashi. Bishlamo Cheresh Koni Dekom Agbele Bendas. The Rosh Hasheni, Litzorach Shnehem. I understand the Cheresh is able to acquire because a Ben Das, a man of sound mind, is picking up the other end with both in mind, the Pikeach and the Cheresh. The Rosh Hashil Tzad Cheresh, Legabi Cheresh, Miyohav Yahagbo, and the picking up on the side of the Cheresh is considered a form of acquisition, Kedetikun Lebebnei Darki Sholem. He acquires insofar as Darkei Shalom is concerned. Elo Pikeach B'maykoni. How does the Pikeach acquire? Legabi Pikeach Havi Rosh Shigbia Cheresh Kemunach Agabi Karka. As far as the Pikeach is concerned, the end by the Cheresh is considered as if it's still on the ground. Dagbo the Cheresh Lo Kani Elo Midarkei Shalom B'alma. The picking up of the Cheresh acquires, but that's only for Darkei Shalom purposes, to preserve social peace, which is a consideration that is unique to the Cheresh, the deaf mute. So that we don't see Rava's din. We don't have an understanding or a basis. Rava tries to base a ruling on his concept of Migu, but the Pikeach, in this scenario, how does he in fact acquire? Elo Emo. So we go to bow tie number two, Elo Emo, Cheresh Kona, Pikeach Lo Kona. What Rava is saying then is that the Cheresh acquires, but the Pikeach does not acquire. Well, if that's the case, Umai Migu, Rashi explains, Umai Migu, Iko Lemeimar Hocha, what Migu can we apply now? Dekomar, Rava opened up by saying, Hashtu Diamris Migu, Amrino Migu, etc. Now that we've introduced the idea of Migu, as Rava said in his opening statement, we're now going to apply that further. Well, how do we apply that further? V'cheresh amai koni. How does the cheresh acquire? Ha lo zochi pikach l'nafshei, denemo dezochi nami l'chavrei. At this point, you're saying that the pikach doesn't acquire for himself. Now, if he's not going to acquire for himself, then what's the basis of saying he's going to acquire on behalf of the other fellow? V'lo havi hagbo de pikach hagbo. Once you tell me, according to the set, what we have in our Gemara under the second bow tie, that the pikech lo kona, then how does the cheresh acquire? The Gemara continues. Migu dishnei cherishim bi'almo konu hai nami koni. The migu would be, since if two cherishim were involved in picking up a found item, we would say they acquire. Therefore, this cheresh that's picking up together with a pikeach also acquires. The Gemara asks, "Hi, my, how can you compare these cases?" Imtin Salomar, even if you were to say Hamagbia Mitzilu Chavero Kona Chavero, which is not something that Rava himself says. But even if you were to accept that idea, one who picks up an item for his friend, the friend acquires, Hani mi lehecho de ko magbele adaita de chavrei. That's where the picking up is with your friend in mind. Hai adaita di de ko magbele. Here, in the case of the pikeach and the cheresh, the pikeach is picking up for himself. Ihu lo koni lachrini makni. If he doesn't acquire even for himself, how in the world could he enable the other fellow, in this case the cheresh, to acquire? So far we're not making any headway. Rava, after saying his initial thesis, he tried to then take the migu idea and apply it to a cheresh and pikeach case. We don't see its application yet. Elo emo, rather stage 3. Mitoich shelo kona pikeach, lo kona cheresh. Since, and here you see the mitoch is like migu, since the pikeach does not acquire, the cheresh also will not acquire. V'chiteimo maishno mishnei cheresh di'amo. You'll ask, well, what is the difference between this cheresh who's standing opposite the pikeach and the case of two cherishin who pick up? The Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of two cherishin, Takinu Rabbanan Delasi Linsiyeh, the Rabbanan instituted a rabbinic enactment so as to avoid them arguing, fighting with others that come to grab away from them. Hacha, in this case, Neymar Omar, the cheresh will figure. In the case that, let us say, some outsider comes to grab from him, he will figure, Pikeach lo koni ano akni. The pikeach standing opposite me doesn't acquire. I should acquire. Of course not. I'm not stronger than the pikeach per se. And therefore, in the event that some outsider would grab from them, it would not lead to a sense of strife or argument. Omar le Rav Acho brei de Rav Ado le Rav Ashi. As we mentioned earlier, Rami Bar Chamo stated Hamagbia Matzil Chaveru Kona Chaveru, one who picks up a found article on behalf of his friend acquires. Deyuka de Rami bar Chama mehecha. From where does Rami bar Chama see this point? Inemo me reisha. If you're to think it's from the opening section of our Mishnah, which said Shnayim oitzim betalis, two people were grabbing upon a found talis. Hasam hai komar kula sheli v'ano agvasei kula. In that case, each one is saying, I picked it up entirely for myself. V'hai omar kula sheli v'ano agvasei kula. And the other fellow arguing the same thing. I picked it up entirely for myself. So how does that illustrate Rami bar Chama's teaching where someone picks up an item for his friend? So it's not from the opening of the Mishnah. Ela meha dekatani. Maybe it's from the following. Ze oimer kula sheli, veze oimer kula sheli. In Hasu Lomali, after each one saying, I picked up the talis, what is the necessity of each one saying, it is all mine? After, in the opening of the Mishnah, it had said, Shnayim oitzim betalis, zeomer ani mitzosi, zeomer ani mitzosi, each one is claiming, I found it. What is it necessary for the Mishnah to almost repeat their claims by their saying, where each one is saying, it's all mine? That would appear redundant. Hello, mi Mishnah Yisera, Shma Mino, Shamagbiya Metzila Chavero Kona Chavero, from the extra phrase in the Mishnah, namely the point in the last frame, Ze Omer Kula Sheli, Ze Omer Kula Sheli, which, as we said, appears to be extraneous or redundant. It must be that from there, Rami bar Chama derived that even where someone picks up on behalf of his friend acquires. The Gemara says, but that can't be Rami bar Chama's source. For ha ukimna reisha b'metzia v'seifa b'mekach u'memkar. We already discussed this back on Daf Beis. The opening of the Mishnah deals with two people arguing over a found item, and the continuation of the Mishnah, where Zelmer Kula Shali, etc., is dealing with two people arguing over a case of a purchase. Ela Misefo. So where does Rami bar Chama see his point? From the continuation of the Mishnah, where it said, Ze Oimer Kulo Sheli Vezomer Chetzio Sheli, two people arguing over the article, one claiming it's entirely mine, the other party claiming half is his. Ha Su Lomo Li, what do we need this additional case for? It would appear to be self-explanatory or redundant. Elo Mi Mishnah Yaseiro Shmamino Hamagbia Metzila Chavero Kona Chavero. From this additional teaching in the Mishnah, Rami bar Chama sees an allusion or a hint to his teaching. Rejection. Umimai, who says that that's the explanation? Umimai debemetzia, dilma bemeka humemkar. Who says that that section of the Mishnah is dealing with a found article? Maybe it's dealing with two people arguing over a purchase. And if you will raise as an objection that if the case is talking about a purchase, why need it be taught? Itzterich, I will tell you, it needs to be taught. Saka daita chamina, I might have thought without the Mishnah, hai dekomar chetzio sheli, the one who is arguing that only half is his, opposite someone who is arguing it's entirely mine. Leve kemeshiv aveda v'liftar. Let him be considered like someone doing a good turn, returning a lost article, and be exempt from having to swear in order to get his portion. Kol mash malon, the Mishnah tells us otherwise. Dahai arume koma arim. We suspect that this person is a trickster. Sovar, he calculates, I amina kula sheli, if I were to lay claim on the entire item, boina ishtabui, I would have to swear, and people certainly do not, even though they might be suspect on theft, they're not willing to swear falsely. So I don't want to be in a position where I would have to swear. Ema hachi, let me say that only half is mine. De'aheve kemeshiv aveda, and by laying claim to only half, I would be viewed in the eyes of justice as an act of returning a lost article, a good turn. And the iftar, and be exempt from having to swear. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us the additional case of Ze'oimer kula sheli, Ze'oimer chetzio sheli, where even there, the person claiming chetzio sheli has to swear that he has no less than half in it, and he'll get his portion as the Mishnah taught. So, after all is said and done, the most recent triangled a framed section above is not the source for Rami Bar Chama. It is necessary to teach that even though the second party is saying only Chetzio Sheli, he nevertheless has to swear to back up his claim. Elo Meha. From the following, Rami Bar Chama will see his point. Hayushnaim Reichen Al Gabi Behema. Two people are riding atop an animal, and each one is claiming it's his. Hasu Lomali, what do I need this additional case for? Ella, the Mishnah Yaseiro Shmamina, from this extra seemingly redundant case, I have to. We conclude Hamagbia Matzila Chavero Kona Chavero. We would conclude Rami Bar Chama's teaching that one who picks up a found article on behalf of his friend, the other party acquires. The Gemara rejects. V'dilma ha komash molon. Maybe the point of this additional case in the Mishnah is the roichev nami koni, that one who is in the state of roichev, even though he's not drawing the animal, he's not doing meshicha, he's not causing the animal to move, nevertheless he acquires, so that the section of the Mishnah describing Shnayim Rochev and Agabi Behemo is necessary to tell me that nuance, that Rochev is a means of acquisition. Rochev meaning sitting atop, sitting astride atop an animal. Elo Miseifo. Rather, Rami Bar Chama sees his din from the continuation. Bizman Shehein Moidin Oishiesh Lohem Eidim Chokim Beloi Shvua. When the two parties concede to one another, or there are witnesses, then division will take place without an oath. Bemai. Under what circumstances is this being taught? If it's a case of some type of commercial transaction, and you have witnesses that say that the animal was sold to both of them, or they both admit that they bought it jointly. Do I have to tell you there that they divide? Elolav, the Mitzia. Rather, it's describing a case of a found article. Ushma mino, hamagbia matzila chavero, kona chavero, where they both concede to one another. They divide without a shvua, is the basis of Rami Bar Chama's teaching. Rashi says at the toward the bottom, second to last line, Elolav b'mitzia v'itzrich lashminan, and it's necessary for the Mishnah to teach this case, she'ein acher yochel l'chitfo, that a third party cannot come and grab away from them. De'magbia mitzia l'chavero, kona chavero, that where one picks up something on behalf of his friend, the friend acquires, he becomes the owner of it. Let's turn back to the Gemara. V'Rava Amarloch, Rava who disagrees with Rami Bar Chama, how does he view this last section of the Mishnah? He will tell you, Migu Dezochi Lenavshei Zochi Nami Lechavrei. Since he acquired, he picked it up with himself in mind, his picking up also will include his friend. However, picking it up exclusively for your friend will not be a means of acquisition. And we glance again at Rashi, Varova Amaloch bi Almo, in general, Hecha Delonis Kavin Hamagbia Lizakis Boy, or Lizkis Boy, Lokona Chavero, where a person picks up something without himself in mind, the friend does not acquire. Umishni Yaseru de Masnisen Ashminen, this last clause of the Mishnah, which is superficially an extra clause, informs us Hamagbia Matsia Lo Ula Chavero, where you pick something up on your own behalf and for your friend, then kona af chavero, then your friend also acquires. That since you acquire for yourself, you can then acquire also for your friend. The Gemara continues. Hoyu shnayim roichvin, Omar Rav Yosef, Omar li Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef tells us that Rav Yehuda had told him, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Shamis minei demor Shmuel tarti, I heard from Shmuel. Here we have several generations of Amoraim, Rav Yosef being the latest of them in this particular section of Gemara, preceded by Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda told Rav Yosef that he had heard from the earlier generation, from Shmuel, 2 points. Rochuv umanhig, two associations with an animal, one called rochuv, the other called manhig, chad koni v'chad lo koni. One acquires and the other does not acquire. One is a form of acquisition and one is not a form of acquisition. V'lo yodano he minayu. And I don't know which is which. Which one acquires and which one does not acquire. So that Rav Yehuda is saying that though he heard from Shmuel these two forms, Rochav and Manig, and he heard from Shmuel that one acquires and one doesn't, but he doesn't know, Rav Yehuda doesn't know, which one is which. Hechi Domi. First of all, what are the circumstances? Ilema Rochav Luchudei Umanig Luchudei. If, let's say, Rav Yehuda's doubt involves, let's say, the two cases in each one in isolation, a rochuv by himself, does he acquire, or a manhig by himself, does he acquire? Now, the word manhig we haven't translated yet, but literally it means one who leads an animal. In this case, it means one who causes an animal to walk. Would there be any doubt if these were the circumstances? Manig luchudei mi ikal man domar lo koni. Someone who, by himself, causes an animal to walk. Would anyone hold that is not a means of acquisition? That's considered meshicha, drawing, one of the formal means of acquiring an animal. And we know from Mishnayos in Maseches Kiddushin that animals are acquired through Meshicha. Why would Rav Yehuda have any doubts about which one acquires and which one doesn't if these were the circumstances? Ela, I ikal lemeimar delo koni, if any one would not acquire, Rochav hu delo hu di ikal lemeimar. Rochav, someone sitting astride atop an animal, not causing its movement, that would be the one that doesn't acquire. Why would Rav Yehuda have any doubts? So that's not the case, though. Ela rochuv b'moko manhig iboyale mai. The case that Rav Yehuda was not clear on would have been the case of the two together. You have a rochuv and a manhig regarding or attached to the same animal. What do we mean by that? One person is sitting astride an animal on top of it, and the other is leading the animal, and the two come in front of us arguing, each one claiming that he acquired the animal. We take a look at Rashi, just a couple lines down from Elo Rochu v'moka manig, Shnei Aboyim Lefonenu, the two of them come to us, Ze Rochu v'ze manig, one sitting astride the animal on top, the other one causing it to walk. Zelimer kula shali, vzemer kula shali. Each one claiming it's mine entirely. Omar Shmuel chad koni. Shmuel says one of them acquires. Omi boy later of Yehuda. Hey chodisu travayu. Hey odif. And what Rav Yehuda is not clear about is where both of them come in front of us. Who would have a stronger claim? Rochiv odif da tofis ba. Do we say that the rochiv has a stronger claim because he is grabbing upon the animal, he is grabbing hold of the animal? V'chiamrino and meshicha koni. We speak about drawing an animal as a means of acquisition. Echad oleko rochiv. That's where there's no rochiv arguing against him. Avol b'malkom rochiv lo. But the meshicha, causing an animal to walk, is a means of acquisition when he's being contested by a rochuf. There we would not say necessarily that Mashiach is kaina. Oy, Dilma, Rashi continues, or maybe Manig Adif Diakaz Lamach Mose. The Manig has the stronger claim in so far as he's causing the animal to move. The Hagdola B'Kinyan, and that's the greater means of acquisition. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef then says, Omar li Rav Yehuda nechsi anan. After Rav Yehuda presented, we'll say, his dilemma, Rav Yosef goes on to say that Rav Yehuda told me, let us figure it out, let us try to figure it out. In other words, Rav Yehuda initially pointed out that Shmuel told him one acquires and one doesn't acquire. And I don't know which one. I don't know which one Shmuel said acquires and which one Shmuel said doesn't acquire. However, Rav Yehuda went on to say, let us figure it out. This non. Hamanig Seifig Esarboyim. Here we have a Tanaic source that deals with Kilayim. Kilayim is a very general term referring to combining or mixed breeding things. In this case, we're not dealing with breeding per se, but we're dealing with another Torah prohibition of drawing a cart or a plow with two different kinds of animals, an ox and a donkey. The Torah prohibits drawing a cart with two different kinds of animals. So we have a Tanaic source that says the manhig, the one who causes the movement of the animals, soifeges raboim, he absorbs the punishment of 40 lashes. Vayoshev bakoron soifeg es raboim. And the one sitting in the cart absorbs the 40 lashes. Rabbi Meir poter es hayoshev bakoron. Rabbi Meir exempts the one who's merely sitting in the cart. Umid apich Shmuel v'toni. And from the fact that Shmuel switches around this Tanaic source, in other words, he claims that what we just read is inaccurate, and rather it should be taught as follows: V'chachomim poitrin as ayoshe b'koron, the Rabbonon exempt the one sitting in the cart, and we therefore conclude, says Rav Yehuda, as told by Rav Yosef, Shma mino rochuv l'chudei lo koni v'kol shekein. Rochuv b'moko manhig. We see from here that one who is merely in a rochuv position, like the case here of someone sitting in the cart, parallel to someone sitting astride an animal, not causing its movement, that rochuv by himself would not acquire, and all the more so when the rochuv, if rochuv by himself doesn't acquire, certainly if he is being contested by a manhig, the one who causes the movement, certainly the rochuv will not acquire. So after all is said and done, we have Rav Yosef telling us what he heard from Rav Yehuda, the rochuv and manhig, the stronger form of acquisition is the manhig. He will gain possession in his claims over someone who is merely rochuv. You can see from our markings that we have a bracketed section that's rather long. on the side of the Mor with a starred note, which reads, "Acharei asograyim haGemara mevia makuros ha mityachasim leetzem dinus Rabbi Yehuda." After the brackets, the Gemara will bring sources that relate to the basic law, the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda. Chelik kemoisai, some like him, the rochuv loikene, the chelik negdo, some of the sources against him. So those like Rabbi Yehuda will end up claiming or reflecting the idea that rochuv, sitting astride an animal, does not serve as acquisition, and other sources indicating to the contrary, that it does serve as acquisition. But soy chasograyim, within the bracketed section, Yishnei l'shenois shel pnias Abaye l'Rav Yosef. We have two versions where Abaye turns to Rav Yosef b'she'ela with his question: Ech hu poishet roichev miyoshev b'karon? How can you conclude the din of roichev, which is our main discussion, roichev as a means of acquisition, from the din of someone sitting in the cart that we saw in the case of the Kilayim? So just to review the superstructure of the Gemara, after the brackets, the Gemara then brings in Tanaic sources that deal directly with Rav Yehuda's din of Rochuv not being an effective means of acquisition. Within the brackets, which we will shortly continue with, the Gemara has Abaye asking Rav Yosef, how can we go about concluding the issue to begin with from the case of the Yoshev Bekoron in the case of the Kilayim? Now the Gemara. Version number one. If these are the two versions are introduced with Roman numerals, one, and then a few lines later, number two. Two lishonos of how Abaye turns to Rav Yosef. And you can see the double underline is used to highlight Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Omar le Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Hazimnin sagin, on numerous occasions, Amris lon nechsi anan, you, Rav Yosef, said, let us figure it out. Falo amris lon mishmei Rav Yehuda. And you didn't say that in the name of Rav Yehuda. Notice we have an arrow. You can use this to align with the arrow a few lines above. There, Rav Yosef spoke and said that Rav Yehuda said, let us figure it out. Abaye, who is still a later generation after Rav Yosef, says to Rav Yosef, on numerous occasions, you, Rav Yosef, said, let us figure it out, and you didn't say that in the name of Rav Yehuda. Omar le Ibra, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, true. Udacharna nami di amri le, and I remember, says Rav Yosef, that we said to Rav Yehuda, hechi poshit mor rochuv miyoshev. When Rav Yehuda himself said, let us figure it out, and he cited the Kilayim case in order to resolve the issue of Rochuv, to resolve Rochuv from the case of Yosef, we asked him, that's Rav Yosef and his friends, asked Rav Yehuda, how can you resolve one from the other? Yosef lo tofes b'moysera, the Yosef who we said is exempt from lashes, after Shmuel switched around the shittas, he is exempt because he's not holding the mosero, the reins of the animal. So he's very removed from the act of drawing the animal. Rochuv tofes bo mosero. A rochuv, on the other hand, is more involved. He is in possession of, or is grabbing hold of, the mosero. The Omar Li, and Rav Yehuda told me, says Rav Yosef, Rav Ushmuel, the Amri Trevayu, Mosero lo koni. The holding of reins in the case of a Mitzia, a found animal, is not a means of acquisition. In other words, the fact that you think that the Rochev has this advantage, this strength advantage in the fact that he's holding the Mosera is really of no consequence. It's of no relevance. Mosera, lo kani. Mosera, holding, reins, is not a means of acquisition. Iko diamri, another version of Abaye. Omar le Abaye, the Rav Yosef. Heshi poshit mor rochuv mi Yosef. How can you conclude rochuv from Yosef? Yosef lo tofes b'moisera. The Yosef, as was pointed out earlier, is exempt from lashes in the case of Kelai because he's not even holding the reins. Rochuv tofes b'moisera. The rochuv, though, which was the issue in terms of acquisition, has an added strength. He's holding the reins. Omar le. Rav Yosef responds to Abaye, Hochi, Tana, Idi. Idi is the name of a Chacham. Idi teaches in the following Tanaic source, Moisera lo koni. As opposed to the first version having Rav Shmuel telling us this information, here you have it in a Tanaic source. Moisera is not a means of acquisition. And therefore, the fact that the Rochuv may be holding on to the Mosera doesn't make the Rochuv any stronger than a Yoshev. And if the Yoshev is not going to be lashed in the Kilayim case, the Rochuv is not going to be able to acquire in the case of a lost or a found article, found animal. Itmar Nami, Omar Rabbi Chelboy, Omar Rav Huna. Mosera may chavero kona, in the case of a business transaction, a sale of an animal, the mosera, the handing over of the reins from the owner to the purchaser, is a means of acquisition. The mitzira ubenichse hager lo koni. In the case of a found animal, or the case of a convert who died leaving no children, his property, his animals are unowned upon his death. One who takes the mosera, the reins of that animal left by the deceased convert, he does not acquire. My losha mosera, the word mosera, which refers to the reins of an animal, what is behind the word itself? Omar Rava. Rava tells us, Edi Asbaroli, the same name we had just a few lines up. Edi explained to me, Ke Adam HaMoser Dover LeChavero. Mosera, the name of that article, the reins, there is implied in the name this idea of a person handing over something to his friend. Bishlam amechavero koni. Therefore, in a business transaction, we have a seller and a buyer. The handing over of the reins is a means of acquisition. To call mosar lechavre, it is transferred over, it is handed over from one owner to the purchaser, the new owner. But in the case of a found article or the property of a deceased convert, who is the initiator? Who is giving it over to the receiver? There's no one giving it over. So in the name itself implies a lacking in the case of Mitzia or Nichsei Ager, and hence someone merely grabbing hold of the reins where someone isn't giving it over to you, you do not acquire in that fashion. Meisvei. Here we have, as we mentioned earlier, the Gemara turning its attention to Rav Yehuda's initial ruling that Rochuv lo koni. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivnei structural note where a triangle is featured. Mekoros, with the point facing up. We have sources, Shemelamdim de Rochuv Kani, Udolok Rav Yehuda. Rochuv does acquire, contrary to Rav Yehuda. The inverted triangle introduces Mekoros ke Rav Yehuda, the Rochuv lo Kani, sources reflecting Rav Yehuda, where Rochuv would not be a means of acquisition. Meisvei. So initially we ask a question from our Mishnah. Hayu shnayim roichvin al gabi behema. The Mishnah went on to say, Oyechad roichvin v'echad manhig. And the continuation of the Mishnah involved their splitting. The two would be splitting the animal. Moni, who is the author? of this Mishnah? E lema Rebbe Meir. If you were to think it's Rebbe Meir, Hashta Yoshev Kani Rochuv Mibaye. We saw above Rebbe Meir saying that the Yoshev will be lashed, the 40 lashes in the case of the Kilayim. This is what Shmuel had taught us after he switched around the Shitas, that the Yoshev, which is a lesser form of acquisition, if you will. We saw above, the Gemara mentioned that Rochav has that initial or seeming advantage of being Tufus B'Mosera. So if you're going to say that even the lesser form is considered a means of acquisition, namely Yoshev, as reflected above in the law that he would get lashed in the Kilayim situation, that and therefore it would be a means of Kinyan, a means of acquisition in a transaction, Rochav Mibaya, do I have to tell you that a Rochav would be able to acquire? That would be obvious. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, that spoke about the Roichev and the Echad Roichev Echad Manik, El Olav Rabbanan. Rather, the Mishnah is authored by the Rabbanan, Ushma Amino Rochav Kani. And the Mishnah is telling us that the Rochav is also Kaine. You have a Rochav and a Manik, and they will split the animal. So it shows you that Rochav is Kaine, and that is against Rav Yehuda, who wanted to derive the case of Rochev from Yoshev in saying that it's not Kaine. The Gemara says, Hocha b'mayaskina, the case of the Mishnah is not parallel to the Rochav that Rabbi Yehuda spoke about earlier. Because here, b'manig b'raglov. Here we're talking about someone who is sitting astride an animal, but is also causing the animal to move by jabbing the animal with the spurs on his boots. Manhig Baraglov, causing movement through his legs that are sitting astride the animal. So he's also doing Meshicha. Meshicha is a form of acquisition of animals. Well, Lihachi Hainu Manhig, if the Rochuv in the Mishnah is Manig Baraglov, so then you have the other fellow doing the same thing. And yet the Mishnah describes them as one is Rochuv and one is Manig, implying that the Rochuv is not doing Manig. But if you're saying that he's Manig Baraglov, then the Mishnah should have said, Oh, Shohayu Shnehem Manhigim. The Gemara says, in fact, they are both manhigim, but Shrei Gavni Manhig, they have two kinds of manhig. Mahu Detema Rochuv Odif. You might have thought that there's not going to be any split where you have the guy sitting atop the animal with spurs on his boots, causing the animal to move. Maybe he's better, he has a stronger claim to Ha Manhig Vitofisba. Not only is he causing the animal to move, but he's also grabbing a hold of it there atop the animal. And he should be the exclusive owner of this animal being contested by the other fellow drawing it on the ground. Kamash Malon, therefore the Mishnah needs to teach even this case of Echad Rochav Echad Manig, that they'll end up splitting the animal between them. Toshma. Now we have the inverted triangle, and we indicated earlier we're anticipating seeing a source that will reflect Rav Yehuda. Shnayim shoyu moishrim begomol umanhigim bechamor. Two are contesting ownership of a camel. Both of them are drawing the camel, or both of them, in the case of a donkey, both are manhigim with a chamor. O shohoyu or one is doing an actual act of drawing the animal with a rope, and the other one is causing its movement through some other means, but they're both arguing over the animal. We continue at the top of Daf Tes. The Mida Zois Kanu. Through this they acquire. Now that term, it seems exclusionary of something else. The Gemara will deal with that a bit later. Rav Yehuda Omer, Le'olam lo kana, achtei meshicha begamal, vanhaga v'chamor. Rav Yehuda is much more limited in acquisition possibilities and says that there's no acquisition unless you are doing the act of meshicha by a gamal. That's, we'll say, the formal act of drawing the animal by a rope, buying a camel, that is, by a rope, or hanhoga by a chamor. Hanhoga is causing the chamor to walk through some other means. There's a brisa in Maaseh Kiddushin that speaks about other forms of meshicha, for example, hitting an animal with a stick, causing it to move, or calling the animal and causing it to move. Those are different forms that we can classify as hanhoga. Katani mihas. We see, however, in this Tanaic source, oishahaya echad moishech v'echad manhig. And we want to infer, moishech u'manhig in, those forms of acts cause acquisition, avol rochuv lo, but sitting atop an animal does not cause acquisition. And that would be like Rav Yehuda. The Gemara responds, no support to Rav Yehuda hu adin, dafilu rochuv. As far as the Tanaic source is concerned, rochuv also is a means of acquisition. V'ode kotoni moishech u'manhig, the teaching in this source that spoke of both moishech and manhig, is lafuke mid Rav Yehuda, to the exclusion of the Tana Rav Yehuda. Don't confuse him with the Rav Yehuda that we're focusing on, the Amora Rav Yehuda, who spoke about Rochov as not being a means of acquisition. Here we're talking about the Tana Rav Yehuda. The Omar, Ad Shitei Meshicha Begomol Vanhoga B'chamor. This source spoke about Moshech and Manig as being a means of acquisition, as in order to exclude Rav Yehuda, who was more limited. He didn't give you the either-or possibility. He said that acquisition will take place only if you have meshicha of the camel or hanhoga of the chamor. Komash Malon, this Tanaic source tells us, dafilu ibchon amikoni, even in the opposite fashion, there is acquisition. In other words, as opposed to Rav Yehuda, who said only meshicha by the chamor, by the gomel, and hanhoga by the chamor, you can have the opposite as well as a means of acquisition. Ihachi, if that be the case, if that's the point of the Tanakama, then l'arvinu v'lisninu, then in his initial teaching, he should have combined the two forms of acquisition in one phrase, in one sentence, as follows. Shnayim shoyu moishchenu manhigin. Notice, we have the two methods together. Moishchenu manhigin. Bein begomol, bein bechamor. Why did the Tanakama not teach thusly? When you're telling me, according to the Tanakama, that you can have the opposite as well, so then teach the two means of acquisition together, and the two animals together. The Gemara says, technically speaking, the Tanakama could not have done that. Why? Because Iko Chad Tzad Delokoni. Remember we mentioned two animals? We had a Chamor and a Gomol. So the Tanakama will agree that in the case of one of those two animals, you can't switch the means of acquisition. In other words, whereas according to Rav Yehuda, each animal had only one form of acquisition. The gomel, as he said, is only through meshicha. The chamor is only through hanhaga. The Tanakama will agree to Rav Yehuda with regard to one of those animals. Now, which one? So, Iko Diamri, some say Meshicha v'chamor. Some will say that Meshicha, according to the Tanakama, will be that which does not work by the Chamor. Bikodamri, another version of the Tanakama is, some say that the Tanakama was saying Hanhoga b'gomol, that Hanhoga will not be effective by Gomol. So according to the first Ikodamri, that Meshicha does not work by Chamor, but by a Gomol, both would work. By the Chamor, only Hanhoga would work. According to the second version of the Tanakama, by the Chamor, both forms would acquire. As far as the camel is concerned, only Meshicha would acquire. Hanhoga would not acquire. Ve'is de moisiv misefa. There are those that try to raise, we'll say their point. In this case, once again, we see an inverted triangle. So there are those that are going to try to raise their proof from the Seifa of the Tanaic source. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above for the top line, where it said b'mida zu kona. B'mida zu l'mutei mai. When the Tanakama spoke about Meshicha and Hanhoga as being a means of acquisition, he also said in this way there is acquisition, excluding what? Lav lamutei rochuv. Is he not attempting to exclude rochuv as a means of acquisition which would support Rav Yehuda, the Amora Rav Yehuda? No, that's not the object, that's not the goal of the Tanakama, but rather lamutei ipcha. What the Tanakama is trying to exclude is the opposite. In other words, two being manhig begomo, or two being moishich b'chamor. The Tanakama, if you recall, opened up his statement, the second line from the bottom of Chesamid Beis. He said shnayim shoy moishchin begomo, and two being manhig b'chamor. So when the Tanakama went on to say b'mido zus kono, he's coming to exclude the opposite. What's the opposite? The possibility of two being manig begomol, two being moishich bechamor. Well, then ihochi hainu Rabbi Yehuda. If the Tanakama is excluding those two, then that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. Why would Rabbi Yehuda have to appear in a source as a dissenting opinion when that's what the Tanakama says? Iko binayo. No, there is a difference between Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama. Sad echod dolo kona. Similar to what we explained before, whereas Rav Yehuda is totally restrictive, totally limited, the Tanakama in one of the cases is limiting, but not in the other. What is that? Is de amri b'mashicha b'chamor? There are those that say that the Tanakama will exclude Meshicha as a means of acquisition by a chamor, limiting Meshicha to Gomol. In other words, excluding chamor from Meshicha, allowing Meshicha to work only by Gomol, but by the Gomol, Hanhoga would also work. The Iko di Amri, Hanhoga b'gomol. There are those that say that the Tanakama will exclude Hanhoga by a gomol, namely, that only Meshicha will work by a gomol, but by the Chamor, both would work. As you can see, we now approach triangle number 3, but in view of the fact that we're in a Dafyomi context, this will be our pausing point. We're leaving the matter in the middle of a discussion. Here's Hashem, in our next shiur, we'll be able to pick up from this point without too much need for introduction, based on the hopes that anyone who is learning Daf Tes will be continuing from where we are right now. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.